He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California, along with my Denver Broncos co-host, Eric Williams. Eric, how are you doing?
Wow. What a way to you know, to talk about your co-host like that. You know, I'm a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan. I don't know what you're talking about, you Oakland Raiders fan. And you
that
are the son
I
of
am, I...
you are the son of Al Davis.
yeah, right. If I was the son of Al Davis, man, things would be awesome. The sports world would definitely change. It would bring out the entire landscape of the Oakland Raiders.
No, you would have Barney at quarterback.
And even if I do say so myself, we would be winning a lot more Super Bowls if I.
No, you wouldn't. Don't start. You would have Barney the Dinosaur at quarterback.
Oh God, Barney the Dinosaur? Does anybody really care about Barney the Dinosaur?
You do.
No, I do not.
Well, it is Barney the Dinosaur's birthday. It is Barney the Dinosaur's birthday today.
Oh, that doesn't that doesn't count. That doesn't count. He's a figment of your imagination.
Barney the Dinosaur is listening live, and he was wondering if Matt Alvarez could sing the happy birthday song. No,
that's not happening. But you know, I would like to send out a special happy birthday to one of our friends from the group. I am a part of a good wrestling group. It is simply called The Group. That is what we are called, Eric Williams. Happy birthday to Valerie Collette Smith, who had a birthday last weekend.
You're going to have to sing. You're going to have to sing. Craig Brooks would be happy.
Oh, he is listening live. I'm not sure if he's at the lovely McDonald's, my favorite.
Well, I think you should sing happy birthday to the lovely Valerie, whatever, I don't even know. Gee, whatever.
Yeah, well, I know Craig Brooks is listening because he liked our Facebook page, Eric, because I just posted up that, you know, come on in, we're going to have a great show today. Eric, we've got so much to talk about.
We do.
We got to talk about the Super Bowl. And thanks to one of NFL's longtime cheerleaders, now other cheerleaders have actually been coming forward this week, Eric, about the disgraceful pay that they get. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we have to talk about something that everybody at first thought was true as it refers to CM Punk. But now those reports are now false. But Eric Williams, what have you done with my chat room? Where is everyone today?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, since Eric
Williams
mentioned
it. Who do we have in the chat room today?
There's no one in here. And I've refreshed
refresh
it about
your page.
Three. I did. I refreshed it three times. I'm going to refresh it again right now, momentarily. Let's see what happens. But I know usually DDP and others, they all like to be the early birds that come into our chat room 5 minutes before we go live. Let's see here. I'm about to open up the chat room. See if it happens again. Well, I think it's working because now I'm listed. At first time, I wasn't even listed at the chat. I wasn't even listed myself the first time. So, yeah. But I'm sure it's working, ladies and gentlemen. If you're having problems with the chat room, we can simply blame Block Talk Radio.
Well,
but
I'm showing
like
off
people,
without a hitch last night.
Eric Williams, I heard a lot about your show, the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show, that took place on this network last night. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's on 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 Pacific, every Thursday night here on blogtalkradio.com/NDB Media 2. We tore it up. We had our first show back in 3 months. New network. And as I said, blogtalkradio.com/NDB Media 2, because two is better than one.
Are you a firm believer in that, Eric?
Yes.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as my good friend Craig Brooks always said, get your snacks ready. Everybody bring their favorite food to share with everybody else. Of course, we can't actually send food to each other. Just like last week, my co-host thought that I could, you know, magically send him money that he's owed, as well as a former co-host of mine, AJ Stahl. But I did send their money via FedEx, and I'm sure they got that over the weekend, right?
Nope.
Oh, I'm going to have to deal with FedEx again. They're probably late like they were for Christmas for everybody that was pissed off about that. But anyway, that's my friend Craig Brooks said, bring your snacks. Eric Williams, what are you eating right now?
Nothing.
Well, that's okay. I've got some milk, and I've got some cookies. I've got some Chips Ahoy cookies.
Oh, boy.
The chewy flavor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was trying to actually look for Cheez-Its this morning when I went to the store, but nobody has Cheez-Its right now. I'm very irritated
what?
About that. Yes, because I live so close to everything. I live right down the street, literally within. It's only a minute and a half walk from here to Grocery Outlet. It's like virtually. It's like literally almost across the street, and then down the street we've got 7-Eleven and Walgreens that I walked to this morning, and they don't have them either.
Well,
I said, well, please order some more, please. I didn't threaten them or anything. I just said, can you please order some? I'd highly appreciate it. But I guess that's life for me this week. No Cheez-Its this week. Maybe I'll have some next week.
Maybe you will.
Man, we've got so much to talk about, and I know we normally don't ever cover boxing, do we, Eric Williams?
No.
But I was intrigued about this story that I found, and I thought it deserved some mentioning about one of boxing's elite stars. Did you hear about this, Eric Williams, about Oscar Gonzalez?
No.
Well, you're about to right now. Because, hey, it's always a mystery when strange occurrences happen when you least expect it. Because featherweight boxer, and he's been declared brain dead, and I don't know how that happened, but it did. And like, wow. I'm sure his family is very upset about this. I mean, I would be if he was a family member of mine. Because featherweight boxer Oscar Gonzalez has been declared brain dead Sunday night in Mexico, less than 24 hours following only a 10th round knockout loss to Jesus Galicia in their television Mexican main event Saturday in Mexico City. Gonzalez was rushed to the hospital immediately following his loss to his opponent in what was billed as a WBC silver featherweight title fight. The fighter is currently being kept alive only through the aid of machines with his family to arrive from Quebec on Sunday afternoon before the fighter is officially pronounced dead. And it's a real tragedy because Eric Oscar Gonzalez is only 23 years old. So
wow.
They're trying to, that's what I said. Wow. They're really trying to keep him alive, but they don't know if they'll be able to even keep him officially alive. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I might even follow up on this story just because it's such a tragedy. So, yeah.
But, so, 2 weeks ago, hold on, 2 weeks ago on this show, I announced that Terrell Owens was married. Now, 10:45 this morning, TMZ is reporting that T.O.'s wife has said, "I want a divorce."
That quickly.
On January 23rd, T.O. married Rachel Snyder in a secret ceremony at a courthouse in Newhall, California. But now we've learned that Rachel has left T.O., moved out of California, and plans on filing for a divorce. Rachel tells TMZ Sports she believes T.O. only married her for money and claims he used her so he could get a loan for a $2 million home in Sherman Oaks, California. "I felt in love," she says, "and now I feel betrayed and heartbroken." She also said that, "I really valued his love and friendship for 5 years. Out of the love in my heart, I tried to help him. We had a secret relationship for 5 years, and I married him for love." So T.O. is not doing so well.
Oh, boy, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to really hurt him because, guys, I hope guys understand this and know, because this happened to my parents. It's always the guy that has to fork out more money than the woman during a divorce, Eric. So I hope this doesn't hurt him too bad, but I know it's going to hurt him. Man. But since he can afford it, I'm sure he's not really worried about the money. He's probably even going to try and win her back. I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
I don't know what's going to happen.
And I've just informed Blog Talk Radio of what's going on with the chat room here, so hopefully they'll be able to fix it before this broadcast ends. But, ladies and gentlemen, you can, you know, it's just like anything else. You don't have to actually access us directly from the internet now. You can access us on your phone, through iTunes, all the major devices, your iPad, and even in your car.
Yes.
And I'm sure a lot of people, that would have been funny last night if people were actually listening to you on their way home from work last night, Eric Williams. How cool do you think that is for you?
That'd been awesome.
Never know. It could be happening right now.
If y'all want to chat, use Facebook and find the Sports Opinion Show on Facebook, and you can chat through there.
Yeah, chat it up, talk about your favorite sport, talk about what you think sucked during the week. And ladies and gentlemen, for our next story segment, it's kind of a bombshell, but it's, at the same time, it's really not. Except most people probably think that this is a high school story, but it's not either. High school cheerleaders, they rule the halls. They command the admiration of every dweeb, dork, and quarterback, especially the quarterback. If you're on the football team in high school, you're a jock, and you're going to get picked. And the dweebs and everybody else won't get picked for dating. But in professional cheerleading, I'm surprised this week to find out and learn that they don't get paid as much as I thought that they would, being that they're professionals. I always thought that high school cheerleaders were getting $100 a week or something like that under the table, Eric Williams. But as everybody's known and known since before the holidays, that former Raiderette for the cheer squad, she filed a lawsuit in Alameda County Court, which is not that far from me, claiming that the football team withheld all the money from Raiderettes until after the season is over. They don't even pay for hours work and force the cheerleaders to pay most of their own business expenses, according to local newspapers here in my area. Her lawyer, who is demanding tens of thousands of dollars in back pay, said the cheerleaders only make $1,250 a year or even less than $5, and they're fined for minor lapses like bringing the wrong pom-poms to rehearsals. What? For not turning in written biographies on time? Why would sports teams need biographies on cheerleaders, Eric Williams? So it's crazy. And one of the plaintiffs even added that the team also makes the women, you know, pay for their own hair, their makeup, their travel, and even their own photos. Wait, what? I thought they were the ones paying for the photos when you get, you know, your picture taken with one of the Raiderettes. That's not the same as getting your picture taken with a football player? I guess not. Apparently, to all these cheerleaders, they're saying no, that the team doesn't pay for that, for the photos.
Well.
Wow, this is crazy. Because even the Ravens cheerleaders, they say it's a huge commitment for the Baltimore Ravens. They said, hey, being a cheerleader is an experience that I will never forget. The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, whose grueling addition and training process have been well documented, are similarly stinging. The women in Dallas only make $150 per game. And
wow.
There's no pay for rehearsals, and there are lots of rehearsals. Furthermore, the dancers must maintain a high level of physical fitness because the DCC uniform is not forgiving. The entire re-auditions have applied every year, so veterans risk being cut even after years of practice. And Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo said, well, yeah, it's true. I earn more money than them because I'm a quarterback and I make $11.5 million in 2013, he said. So, of course, Ed. I would expect Tony Romo to say something like that, wouldn't you, Eric?
Yeah, I definitely do.
But I can't believe this. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if it looks like it's like this whole thing is going viral, Eric, and it's bringing all the cheerleaders from all the NFL teams together to say, hey, we're not going to stand for this anymore. Oh, my God. What if all the cheerleaders go on strike next year, Eric, or even this summer?
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine driving down one of your streets I can't even imagine driving down one of my streets in my car and seeing all the Raiderettes, you know, being on strike.
That'd be crazy.
That would be. Let me guess, Eric, you're going to pull over and be like, here, here's $100.
No.
I'll
be like, come on the Sports Opinion Show.
Yeah, we'll definitely take that. Wow. I tell you. And
what's up in the chat
we
room?
We know that you're all... What's that, Eric?
What's up in the chat room?
I still don't know, and I keep refreshing. This is kind of... It's kind of stuck, but we know. We're not worried about it, though. We know that you're out there listening, even though it doesn't show in the chat room, but I've just refreshed the page again. There it goes. Let's see if this will open up the chat room. My goodness. This is one of the more stranger shows that I've done where the chat room just doesn't show anybody in there.
Not even you.
Now it does. Now it shows me in there, but there's... I'm going to try the big chat room, the one where I can control it if I want to kick somebody out. But let's see if this one operates better than the other one. No, this one doesn't operate as well either. Jeez, come on, Block Talk Radio. What's going on here?
I will tell you, last night it was acting up a little bit.
Yeah, I bet. I bet it was.
If Lisa's listening out there, give us a call. Anybody want to give us a call?
Please, give us a call and let us know you're listening. Call us up at 347-637-2306. Besides, we want you to call and we want to know what your thoughts are throughout this entire broadcast. Just like last week when, you know, when it was mentioned that, you know, if I'm talking about something else and if we have to take your calls, then we'll do that. But please, no Skype calls. Find a different way to call us because last week Eric was screening the calls and he told me off air that we had a lot of prank callers too. So, sorry, we don't have time for that. And we don't have time for jokes on this show. This is serious. But, yeah, we want your calls about what took place on the Super Bowl, what your thoughts on the game were, and how you felt about it. Eric, how did you feel about that?
Well, the game was interesting, and I tell you right now, the halftime show killed it. Everybody tore it up.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought that we would seriously, I was expecting a blowout game. I thought they were going to end up neck and neck, you know, closer to each other in score. And that didn't happen because what happened in the first 10 seconds of the game, the ball gets overthrown and it's a touchback. I said, oh boy, here we go. And I don't know if anybody saw it. I don't know if you saw it, Eric Williams, but the night before the Super Bowl, everybody started doing this for the last 4 years now, where everybody wants their Hall of Fame ceremonies the night before their big day the next day. So on Saturday night, they showed the Hall of Fame ceremony, and they said, well, you know, and everybody that I want to thank all of you that called in last week, all of you that called in, all of you that showed up here in the chat room, we had over a 50% margin here on the Sports Opinion Show last week, Eric. What do you think of that? Eric, can you hear me? Really not cool, but I don't know if I lost Eric or what happened. I just don't know right now. Is anybody even out there listening? This is like I just said, this is one of the stranger shows we've done, where things are happening that are not even in our control at this point. It's getting to be ridiculous. It really is. Oh, man. I tell you. I'm not even sure what's really going on here, ladies and gentlemen. With the Sports Opinion Show right now. Eric Williams, are you there?
I'm here.
What the heck happened?
I've been screaming I'm here for the last 5 minutes.
Damn. I don't know. What the heck's going on today?
I don't know either.
But yeah, like I was trying to get your opinion on, because I thought that the game was going to be real close, neck and neck, and that didn't happen. And did you say that you enjoyed the halftime show? Ah, we lost Eric again. I don't know. What is going on today? I seriously don't know what's going on today. But anyways, we had a dual competition, because by halftime, everybody knew that, you know, and I'm not going to say that I jumped on a bandwagon for another team, because I'm clearly not. But I did say last week on the show that I believed that the Seahawks were going to win. And I did something that I fully regret, and I should have done it. I should have done it. But in spite of my situation not being able to really afford anything right now, but I should have went out on a limb, and I should have called up a buddy of mine or just randomly, because all my friends, you know, even my other friends were having Super Bowl parties at their brother's wife's house or something like that. I didn't bet on the game. If there was a night, any night in the world of sports, especially the Super Bowl, where I should have bet money on a game, Sunday night was the night for me to do it. And I didn't do it at all. I've never bet on a game, and I should have. I could be a rich man by now. I could be telling you guys that, hey, I bet on the Super Bowl. I knew who was going to win. It was the right pick. And guess what? I've got $2,000 in my pocket right now. But that didn't happen. I didn't bet anything. I should have. I think next year, I think from now on, I'm just going to start throwing it out there for the Super Bowl, that I'm going to tell my friends and former colleagues that I used to work with, and even family members, that I need to start betting on the game. We'll try and bring Eric Williams back in here.
What's going on?
What's going on? I don't know what's going on today, Eric.
I had to actually run and use the switchboard to get myself back on, because I got hung up. So I don't know. But like earlier I said, like it was just...
Oh, you got... They blocked your call again, Eric. Damn it. This show is getting out of control. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what we're going to do? Eric, if you can hear me, don't call in yet. Just wait till after the commercial break. I'm going to shut everything down during the commercial break and bring it back up, and hopefully things will work out again. Okay? But ladies and gentlemen, before we do that, before we go to commercial break, why don't you all stand up right now? Or if you're driving, don't even try this, but just give yourself a pat on the back. But everywhere else, I mean, if Craig Brooks is there at McDonald's, I want everybody at McDonald's, even if you weren't a part of the show last week, it doesn't matter. If you're at McDonald's with my good friend Craig Brooks, if that's where he's at.
All right, I'm back over here. What the fuck is this, the problem now?
I don't know, Eric. I don't know. I'm just gonna do something right now. But before we go to commercial break, I want everybody right now to stand up wherever the heck you're at. Like I said before, Eric got back on the line. Thank God he's back. But wherever you are, stand up and applaud yourself. We had over 50 people here on the show. All of you that called in, that were in the chat room. The chat room was maxed out last week, and more people kept coming in. So give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. You guys are awesome for all calling in and all being here last week. And this week, I really don't know what the heck is going on. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. Because that way I'm going to shut everything down during the commercial break and try and send.
Do you want me to run the switchboard? You want me to take us to commercial break?
No, I got it because I think I know how to fix the problem. So. Yeah.
Well, I could run the switchboard if you want. I'm on the switchboard right now.
I got it. I'm going to try something because I've had this problem on my old channel. So hang with us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to try and fix the chat room and everything, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show. We'll be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my God,
the leader of Team Gooch himself, McDirty Fist. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Take a breath with him. Who was it that led you on? And makes you want to hurt me so? your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey! Oh, man!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Albrecht.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Having technical difficulties with the chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure there's a lot of you listening. But if you'd like to call in to let us know that you are listening, please call us up at 347-637-2306. Eric,
hold on. What's the number again?
347-637-2306.
Okay. I'm going to be having a person call in a moment.
Oh, all right.
Probably talk some baseball with him.
Cool. Oh boy. Yeah, that'll be cool. That will really help us out, even things out a little bit. But while we're waiting for that, we just got not too much long story, but I'll run through these very quickly. Well, the official WWE Network launch will happen February 24th, right when Raw goes off the air that night.
I'm pumped.
That's not actually... What?
I'm pumped.
You're going to buy it?
Yeah.
Well, for Eric Williams and the rest of you that are pumped about this, guess what? As a result of what I just read, that's not actually true. Because now fans will actually be able to start signing up, logging in, and even viewing content the morning of Raw. You won't have to wait until after Raw on February 24th.
I did hear that. I did hear that.
So you're going to wake up early that morning on that Monday morning.
No, probably not.
You're not going to start watching content right away and viewing all these new shows that they got planned?
No.
Oh, okay. You're probably just going to use it for WrestleMania, right?
No, I'm gonna watch it. Are you going to be getting it?
I'm thinking about it. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we have a caller on the line, and it's our good my good buddy Joe. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Eric. How's it going?
Going on. Welcome back to the Sports Opinion Show. You called in last week, talked some football, And I know Matt was going to go. Matt, just continue what you're saying about the network. Sorry.
Yeah. It's likely something that's ready to happen. So you'll be able to do that the day of Raw, like even hours before Raw that morning. Also, they've noted before that there will also be a disclaimer. They still want a big disclaimer that will appear before any Chris Benoit match on the network. The disclaimer will likely just say something about how sports entertainment are just characters, but they won't actually mention the Benoit family tragedy. Also, they've noted from multiple sources that WWE officials do not see signing Sting as a priority. While this is true, they do want him as a part of the company, as they realize Sting is a sort of the last piece of WCW puzzle that they need for WWE. They also realize there is a lot of money to be made with Sting through T-shirts, action figures, and other merchandise. The latest word that Sting may pop up at WrestleMania, but not actually wrestle, and then wrestle one or two matches before being used in some sort of special attraction match, like maybe an enforcer or something like that. But with WrestleMania 31 next year being held right here in California next year, and Sting being a California guy, there's potential for him to be a cornerstone for next year's Hall of Fame class. That, there you have it. So, Eric, take away with your friend Joe.
Well, Joe, real quick, what do you think about this network thing? I know you're a big wrestling fan. What do you think about this network thing?
I think it's interesting. I think they could probably they're going to attract a lot of people that maybe aren't watching the programming now. Maybe they've watched it like 5-10 years ago, or even 20 years ago, for that matter. Just to like go on and see what's going on, see the old matches, and I think it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, like you said, people can watch the old stuff, and then maybe if they like it and they get the itch to watch it again, they'll give it a chance, you know?
Right, exactly. I don't think it's going to hurt. I mean, usually when WWE comes up with something like this, they don't miss with it, you know? So I think it's going to – I think it's definitely going to be a good thing.
Right. So, last week we talked football, and I should have known you're not a football fan, but I figured to, get as many people to talk football that we can. Your specialty, however, is baseball.
College football, though, I enjoy.
Right, you do enjoy football, but you're not a big football fan.
Right.
We got some baseball talk to talk. MLB rumors, MLBtraderumors.com. I got some stuff that I want to bring up. And the first piece of a topic is a report from Steve Adams. This afternoon, he posted the Phillies and Orioles unlikely to sign A.J. Burnett.
Oh, boy.
He posts, the market for A.J. Burnett could be taking further shape, as Friday reports have indicated that a pair of previously listed suitors aren't likely landing spots. Jim Salisbury of CSN Philly writes that the Phillies aren't likely to add A.J. Burnett at this point in the offseason, and Raj Kubar Paco of MASNSports.com tweets that things don't look good for the Orioles either. Salisbury spoke with Phillies GM Ruben Amaro Jr. and was told the following. I don't suspect we'll be doing anything. I think we've got what we've got. I suspect we'll go into the season with what we've got, or at least spring training with what we've got. We're always looking, always trolling. I know that there are guys out there, but I don't suspect us having any major coming, though. On the Phillies and Ruben Amaro shooting himself in the foot, not going out and getting the 37-year-old right-hander.
Well, I think that I think a couple things would have made sense with it. Like I said last week, I think we talked about it last week. Briefly maybe, but anyway, I think that he would have been close to home, whether he signs in Philly or Baltimore, he's close to his Maryland's home. He is neighbors with the assistant general manager, Scott Profrock. So, that right there is interesting. But as far as Burnett on the field, I mean, he throws that sinker and he gets guys out. Like, I mean, his ground ball to fly ball ratio is absolutely insane. It's so good. He's going to help a team. And if it's not the Orioles or Phillies, I'd say the Pirates, the Blue Jays. But Amaro, I guess, he just feels that Gonzalez is going to be able to be better than what everybody thinks he's going to be. God, he better hope so. And Kendrick will be okay behind him. But I still think Burnett would have been a really nice fit in Philly.
Right. The Brewers are set to sign Francisco K-Rod Rodriguez to a one-year deal, a major league contract. And
not a surprise.
According, what?
That's not a surprise. He was a Brewer.
According to MLB trade rumors, the contract will be close to $3.25 million with $550,000 of incentives.
Yeah, the Brewers aren't that good. I mean, so he's got a home for a year, I guess you'd say. They're just – the Central's too good, actually. The Cardinals, the Reds, the Pirates. I mean, there's three right there, and I just think the Brewers are kind of just going to find themselves back in the division. So, yeah, getting him, I guess, doesn't hurt them.
Right. The Marlins are set to sign Carlos Marmol to a one-year deal. They have agreed to a one-year, $1.25 million deal with Carlos. Reports Enrique Rojas of ESPN Deportes.com. The 31-year-old former Cubs closer is a client of Kinzer Management Group. Thoughts on that?
Well, Marmol is interesting. When he's right, he's good. I mean, he's effectively wild. Sometimes he's maybe too wild, and he gets himself in trouble with walks. But he's a decent guy, and the Marlins would be interesting because they got some young talent, and then they have, you know, their young pitching, and I think he might fit good down there in Miami.
The Marlins also acquire and sign Jeff Baker. That was February 4th, but Jeff Baker to a two-year deal, and this is worth $3.7 million.
Yeah, that I didn't understand. I mean, don't they have Soltamaki? I mean, he's their catcher.
But they're saying that he'll probably platoon with Garrett Jones.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess it makes sense then. Yeah, the Marlins are, I mean, they're still young. I mean, they do have some veterans, but they're still just a team that is still kind of, I think, looking to find their way in that division.
Right. Some of the players, I was actually looking at, like, the MLB Trade Rumors has a tracker of some of these players. And I was actually reading some of the players, and let's, you know, go down a little bit. I mean, maybe they haven't updated this, but some of these players that are, I don't know if this
is
an update in a while. What?
You talking about free agents?
Yeah.
Got to start with Nelson Cruz. I mean, what the heck?
Right. Well, that and Eric Bedard is still out there.
Oh, my God, Eric Bedard.
I know Jason Bay is still out there.
Oh, gee, Louie. There's a guy that's done. But,
well,
I mean, Kyle Nelson.
What happened to him?
He just had injuries. I think his knees are bad. He came to New York after being in Boston and Pittsburgh, and he just couldn't hack it.
Right.
But I really believe that a guy like Nelson Cruz is going to get a good, well, a deal now at this point. I mean, I heard 2 years, and maybe the Mariners offer him a third year. I cannot believe they're the only team that wants him. I just can't believe it. Like, what are these teams thinking? He's a good player. You know,
Drew is also available still.
Yeah, he's going to end up in New York, I think, with the Mets. It just makes sense. It really makes sense, and it really just got to worry Philly fans because, I mean, you bring in Stephen Drew, you got Granderson, you got a good pitching staff. The Mets are going to be legit this year. I think they're really going to surprise people.
Tommy Hansen is also still a free agent.
Yes, I did see that the other day. I think that's really interesting. I don't know. I mean, the National League has to be chomping at the bit because I feel like they saw enough of him when he was good. I mean, he did have surgery, and he's had trouble in the past couple of years. Tommy Hansen's a very good pitcher. He had like a 2.6-something ERA a couple of years ago. You know, it's not like he did it 10 years ago. He did it like 4 or 5 years ago. He's a guy that should be signed in spring training, I would think.
Ubaldo Jimenez is still a free agent.
Yeah, he's another interesting one. I thought he'd end up in the West Coast somewhere. Maybe he'll go back to Cleveland. I mean, I don't know. He's a good arm. I mean, when he was a Rocky, he really was good, and then he kind of just disappeared. And in Cleveland last year, he seemed to do well. So, you know, maybe he needs to stay on a team that isn't supposed to be too good. I don't think anybody that has a chance to win anything is going to get him, though.
Right.
I feel like he's going to be somebody.
How about former Philly Brett Myers is a free agent?
Yeah, just let him go. I don't know where he's going to end up. I mean, somebody that's in desperate need of pitching, I would say. Like, Houston,
I think if they're desperate, they go out and get Roy Oswalt.
Yeah, Roy Oswalt. Bring him back. Bring him back. Oh, Roy Oswalt.
Did you hear Clayton Richard is still a free agent?
Who?
Clayton Richard.
Oh, Richard, okay. Yeah, he did decent in Baltimore. I forget when exactly he was there, but he was a decent pitcher.
Right. And
but there was some sad news the other day. I heard that Curt Schilling has cancer. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Yeah, that's a terrible story. They were gonna actually have him on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and it doesn't sound like that's gonna happen unless he does a limited schedule.
Well, his health is more important at this point.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
But nobody knows what's going on yet with that because it's not really.
Yeah, I didn't want to speculate. I just wanted to throw it out there for people that didn't know.
Let's throw some of these names out there. We're close to spring training. How many days we got till pitches and catches report?
God. I can't wait. It's like a week now. This is unreal. This is feels like the longest winter in the history of winters.
Right. All right. So let me go off the Yankees. All right. I'm going to talk about the Yankees real quick. And I'm going to go back up top and going to make sure my point was proven. At the amount, I'm looking at the amount, and I sorted every single free agent and their amount that they're making, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm doing that right now as we speak.
And what player are you looking at?
I'm trying to figure out how many – okay, so – all right, so the Yankees – they got Masahiro Tanaka for 7 years, $155 million. They also acquired Jacoby Ellsbury for 7 years, $153 million. They've also acquired Brian McCann for 5 years, $85 million.
Oh, they're going
okay.
for it, all right.
That's not all. Hold on. They also acquired right fielder and designated hitter Carlos Beltran for 3 years and $45 million.
Yep.
A left-handed pitcher, Matt Thornton, for 2 years, $7 million. Shortstop Brendan Ryan for 2 years, $5 million. And
they
that's
also,
that.
Well, no, they got Brian Roberts, too.
Okay.
So they,
I didn't see that. I was surprised to see Scott Kazmir go to the Athletics for 2 years, $22 million.
Yeah, me too. That was the that seemed like it was so long ago. But you're right. I didn't think he was going to get 22. I thought he'd get like a year for like 12 or 10 or something. But he's a pretty – you know, lefty pitchers are tough to come by. And he's one of those guys that seems to always pitch well.
Right. With the Phillies, on the other hand, we get it seems like we didn't really spend much money, but we get Ruiz for $26 million for 3 years, and then going up, we get Marlon Byrd for 2 years, 16.
And if he hits you 20 home runs and knocks in about 80 runs, that's really a good season for him. So that's what they got.
Right, and like, I'm looking up, and we really didn't pick up any big names. I mean.
No, they did not pick up a big name. They just
Sean O'Sullivan, they get Sean O'Sullivan for a minor league deal.
He might not make the team. Chad Godown, he'd probably
they get
make the
Jeff,
team.
They get Jeff Manship, former Twin prospect, to a minor league deal.
Yeah, he might make the team. See, there's just so many young arms in the bullpen.
Roberto Hernandez for $4.5 million.
As of now, I'd say he's your fifth starter, unless Pettibone really pitches well.
Gaudin on a minor league deal.
Yeah, he's a good swing guy to have. I like that, actually. I think he's a good,
Sean
good
Camp
sign.
For a minor league deal.
Yeah, he's not going to make the team, I don't think, either. I mean, they got so many young arms. They got the Freitas, they got Diekman, they have Bastardo, they have Stutz, if Adams is healthy, Papelbon, of course. I mean, right there, six guys. You don't have a 12-guy bullpen usually. I mean, you have like 9 or 10 usually, but
right.
A couple of those guys will be battling, and maybe it will be good for the club. Maybe it'll be a good thing to have, a couple competitions within the within pitching.
Right, right. you know, we'll probably bring you on in a couple weeks, for the next couple weeks, if you're available. You know, preview some baseball, and hopefully come a couple weeks before the season starts, we'll do a little preview, NL East preview, MLB preview.
I always love talking baseball, so if I'm available, I know next Friday I'm available, so I will be glad to come on.
All righty. Well, thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you
soon. All right, Eric. Thanks a lot.
Cool. That's Joe. That's Lima.
Great
baseball fan and knows his stuff.
Yeah, you know. A lot of my friends, they said that they were going to drive down to Arizona next week for, of course, the San Francisco Giants spring training. They're all excited for that. Just they didn't invite me to go with them, so.
That's messed up.
Well, that's okay. You know, the friends that we're talking about going are a bunch of, older guys,
Okay.
Like people like my dad's age, so.
Wow.
So I don't think I'd really need to be involved in that. They're probably going to just, talk about what they talk about at, senior citizens.
talk about what it was like in the 60s.
Probably.
We're talking about drinking. We're going to be drinking tonight. We're going to get drunk tonight.
Oh, so Eric Williams, you're having a party? All right, everybody, head to Eric Williams' address. I don't have his address per se, but I'm sure he'll give that out.
It is Matt Alvarez's house. That's my address.
Seriously, one last thing about the Super Bowl. I don't know, but for the last 6 years, the halftime show has sucked.
No, it was awesome.
Hey, come on. Didn't you hear the story? The Red Hot Chili Peppers admitted.
I don't care about that. Bruno Mars killed it.
Yeah, Bruno Mars, he did a hell of a job. Did a hell of a job, but like I said earlier, I'm just going to say it one more time because I'm so disappointed in myself. If there was ever any night to bet on a sports team, especially the magnitude of the Super Bowl, and I knew who was going to win, Sunday night was it. I should have bet. I should have called up my betting buddies and said, you know what? I think I'm going to throw my hat in there tonight. I'm going to start betting money. Because my paternal grandpa, he said, well, you should have. I mean, some of us here, because he lives in one of those mobile home trailer parks for seniors, he's like, me and all my friends, we just bet, small amounts of money. I'm like, how much? He said that he only bet $2. And a couple of other neighbors there bet $5 or $10. That's it. I'm like, I should do that too. It might sound strange, but I might just do that next year. I might only bet just $10 on the Super Bowl. Because I could have $1,000 right now. I could be rich.
Or you could be poor.
Well, I could have FedExed, all of AJ Stahl's back pay from the show. Okay? Especially his appearance on the show last week. So, AJ, if you're listening, that could have happened, but he didn't. Because I didn't bet anything. But that is okay. That is okay. It's over with now. We can't go back in time and do Sunday night all over again. And actually, quite frankly, I don't think nobody wants to because that was a really boring game. And even though the night before Peyton Manning did get inducted and introduced as the MVP of the entire National Football League, he certainly did not look like an MVP material on Sunday night at the Super Bowl. So, that's that. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for our wrestling segment of the show, this last hour.
you're going to hear a lot of things that took place on Monday Night Raw. And Eric Williams, I'm sure you heard about what happened. And the story that everybody thought was true has now actually been proven to be false. And, you know, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Good. Well, here we go. I mean, I know that we understand that we're still having technical problems. The chat room is still not working. But please, you're more than welcome to call us. Call us up at 646, excuse me, call us up at 347-637-2306. Once again, that number is 347-637-2306. And, of course, that was Eric Williams' fault that I got tongue-tied there for a minute. No, just kidding, just kidding. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'd have to tell you that everything about Monday Night Raw had windowed down to everything. And as I said on the Sports Opinion Show's Facebook page and on social media abroad, I believe that it is time that not just for wrestling, but for any sport. I know it's dangerous. I know people can get seriously hurt or even killed. But we might actually have to start petitioning and even starting riots. I'm sure if the SEC hears this, they will likely come after me. But think about what had happened. Because the magnitude of the story, it's going to come out, and I'll reveal that in just a second. WWE Raw was live from Omaha, Nebraska. Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler and JBL welcome us. And I thought that they were going to even try and attempt, you know, some NFL jokes because of what happened the night before, how Peyton Manning had said that, you know, I'm going to use Omaha in my signals when I shout out to the players. We all remember that story last week about how I said that he was almost endorsed by the state of Omaha because of what he had promised to do. I don't know if he actually ever used the words Omaha in his play-calling duties, but that's different. That's another story. But anyway, that's what has happened. And here we go. This is the way things are with the writing and the substance of the way the wrestling industry is now. Because now this propels everything to how we are with wanting to start a riot. Do you want to riot? I do. I think it's damn time that we get into this, that we actually start doing it. But the show started with The Shield versus Rey Mysterio versus, well, The Shield took on a tag team action with Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, and Big E Langston. And I'm sure everybody knows what had happened. The Shield was once again still on top. And, you know, things had happened, and they had to push things to the next level because, in other words, they're all stepping up. They're all fighting harder than they've ever fought before. And, of course, that's just the roll of the dice. And next is Jack Swagger versus Christian. The Jack Swagger versus Christian match is where the ultimate story comes to play. Because you heard it the first time. This is where all the CM Punk chants had actually started. CM Punk, CM Punk. The audience was thrilled there in Omaha, Nebraska. You guys were awesome, those of you that were at Raw. I watched it. You guys were killing it. Anyway, Christian is the winner. And we had a steel cage match for the WWE Tag Team titles. It's Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus the New Age Outlaws. Only they said that this time would be different because this would be different from a traditional steel cage match. You cannot climb out of the cage and they're not going to open the door. You have to do a pinfall directly in the middle of the ring because they didn't want no interference like they did last week. So that was the way that they came up with to settle everything down and keep everybody out of the match that's not supposed to be in the match. But your winners are the New Age Outlaws. Zack Ryder took on Titus O'Neil, and we all know what happened on SmackDown, that Titus O'Neil had turned on his partner. The primetime players is no more. They are done. They are history. I think it's, what, almost been a two-year reign for the primetime players. Two-time WWE champions. And that's it. That's it. Just the two-time champions. And now it comes to this where Titus Fields, he's been made a loser now. And he blames his partner for it. So the primetime players are done. They are history now. And you can bet you saw that when Zack Ryder took on Titus O'Neil in a singles match. Titus O'Neil's first singles match ever. Zack Ryder, of course, is no stranger to singles matches, but still, he lost to Titus O'Neil. Sheamus versus Curtis Axel. I have to say this was a stellar, killer match. I mean, Sheamus fights back, and he beats Axel into the corner, and this is where Axel, you know, Curtis Axel had blocked the White Noise for the first time ever in television Raw history, where White Noise gets blocked. But he drops him anyways. Sheamus then nails him for the Brogue Kick, and that's how Sheamus is the winner. Then we had Dolph Ziggler, Xavier Woods, and R-Truth taking on the Wyatt family. Now, as much as people love to get behind and are starting to get behind the Wyatt family, teams like The Shield, Alberto Del Rio, people like that, that didn't matter to anybody. Because this is where the real story starts up. And it's a real-life contingency, but as I said earlier, this real-life contingency of wanting to riot is actually false. Because during the course of this six-person intergender tag team match, by the way, the Wyatt family, they won anyway. They are the winners of the six-man tag team match. But during the course of this match, rumors started flying around on Twitter. People saying that, hey, what? I just got thrown out. Security just threw me out of the building. They threw about 20 of us out of the arena. They kicked us out because we started chanting CM Punk. And at first glance, you would think, well, this is America. We have rights here. Our number one right is our freedom of speech. We damn sure have freedom of speech rights. You can't violate somebody's freedom of speech. Because that was declared long ago by one of the main forefathers of our country, and I applaud him very much, Thomas Jefferson. And it's like, what? They're lucky that the entire arena didn't go crazy. But then, you know, reports came back, and thanks to a good friend of mine, you guys all, of course, remember Gary Cantrell of The Shoot. His show is still going on, just not here on Blog Talk Radio anymore. But he finds out that it's not true, that it's those reports and those rumors were actually false. The entire story was false. The people that were tweeting about it just wanted publicity. They just wanted to get their name out there. My name is so-and-so. And guess what, man? I just got thrown out of Monday Night Raw because I chanted CM Punk's name. But now we find out that that's not true, that they never got thrown out. Wow. This is your way of what? Were you pissed off because the camera crew bypassed you and you didn't get noticed on national television? Or maybe there was a bug up your butt. Maybe you ordered the right pizza from somebody in the stand or at the concession stand, or maybe the guy walking around with pizza or popcorn or cotton candy or something like that, and they gave you the wrong shit. Tough luck. But you don't need to take to Twitter and say that this is what happened to me. Here's a tragedy that really happened to me, when in fact it didn't. It didn't happen. The jackasses that were tweeting about it just wanted to put their name out there. What, are you trying to become an internet sensation too? Well, go become a wrestler. Go become a boxer, a baseball player, a football player, anything. Anything that resembles you getting on TV just because you wanted to make up a phony story that, hey, we were the ones that chanted CM Punk and we got kicked out, when you never did get kicked out. So, ladies and gentlemen, those rumors are not true. They are totally, totally false. Anyways, next we have Naomi versus Oksana. Naomi, great, great match. And I'm glad that they actually let this match go. This match, this women's match, actually went to a full 9.5 minutes. And, of course, AJ Lee came out to ringside, and she was doing commentary and blatantly blaming Tamina for what's been happening the last few weeks. And, of course, Tamina had, you know, the camera had showed her looking down at AJ going, "What did you think?" It's like, "Oh, nothing, nothing. I'm talking with them here, you know." And, of course, Naomi gets the win, and she's now the number one contender for AJ's title. And AJ just flaunting the title in front of her saying, "Hey, you got to get through me to win this. You got to get through me to win this belt." Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton. I tell you, one of the better main events that we've seen in a long, long time. And there's a reason for it. And that reason is, well, Jim Ross has been blogging about it. I'm sure you guys know that. That with CM Punk gone, everyone is picking up the slack. Everyone is moving. Let's just say that everyone on the roster is moving up the ladder, so to speak. With CM Punk gone, everybody's moving up that ladder. They're climbing the ladder closer and closer. I mean, you heard what the Authority said, which is Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Then now, you know, they didn't actually say it on television. It wasn't like they said, "Well, with CM Punk gone, we're having this Elimination Chamber match." But that's, even though they didn't say the exact words and they never mentioned his name, they said, "We think that all these people deserve to be in this Elimination Chamber match. And it starts with Randy Orton." But man, they, one after another, things kept happening. Daniel Bryan taking out Randy Orton's leg could be causing an injury, but then Randy Orton found a weakness on Daniel Bryan in his right shoulder. So those things have happened there. Hey, it's just the roll of the dice. It's the way things go. The way things really are, and how I believe that if the writers, all the politics, all the BS backstage does not stop, you're going to end up seeing a convention, rebellious fan base that has not peaked since the 90s. I mean, come on, all the fans in the 90s, everyone was reckless at shows. Even independent shows. Sure, back then everybody, you know, at first, they tried to distinguish wrestling as a real sport. But it's character-based. Everything's all storyline. It's basically, you know, the truth about it is that people that really want to riot can't actually riot because it's a soap opera for men. It's a cartoonish, attitude-making, convention is fighting mixed with realistic fighting on a television show that never, ever ceases to amaze people. But after what's been happening, that started at the Royal Rumble, how everyone, including myself, has said that Roman Reigns clearly should have won the Royal Rumble. Like I said last week, it has nothing to do with best friends. And that clearly wasn't best for business. So now what are we looking at? Well, you tell me, because I know that things should never get out of hand, especially not at a wrestling event. But with the enormity of what people think and perceive as a true camaraderie, and I wish the chat room was operating properly, because I would like to see everybody's opinions about this. I would like to see Coffee, DDP, SportsLink, who was here with us last week, all of you. There were so many people from other Blog Talk Radio shows that were here, along with the rest of you, that there's so many people that I can't even name, because as I said earlier, we had, at the top of the show, I said we had over a 50% margin last week on this show. But I can't see the reactions. I can't totally interact with all of you because the way the chat room is not operating today, and we apologize for that. We need Blog Talk Radio to please. I know they're probably listening to me live too. Get to the bottom of this. Have your tech team get on top of this ASAP. Because I wish I could see everybody's reaction. I know I would like to see Coffee's reaction about this immediately. But but come back every week. Come back next week. And I'm sure that things will be back to normal. Things will be operational. I'll be sure to see DDP as well in the chat room. But, man, last week, like I said, you guys really kicked ass. It was awesome of everyone to be here. I still can't believe it. Over a 50% margin was in the chat room, and also 45 calls in only a two-hour time span. What other show had that, huh? What other show had that? We bring you the hype. I bring you the entertainment. Eric Williams likes to bring the joke. But anyways, the point is, the WWE continues, and TNA as well, so which means I'm talking to you too, Dixie Carter. And I know that if the chat room was properly operating, everybody would say, well, hold on, Matt, you forgot. They have a new investor. Yeah, I know, I didn't forget about the new investor that TNA has, with MVP being the guy. But that if you're not careful, things could get out of hand very, very quickly. Because everybody that I grew up with, and everybody that I've known, especially people like AJ Styles, who lives right there in the heart of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, WWE and all these other wrestling organizations have always said, you know, I don't appreciate these bloodthirsty fans. These bloodthirsty fans are out of their mind. They're crazy. We could get seriously hurt. And look, nowadays, it's not just the hardcore fan base that goes to wrestling shows. The kids and the parents, the grandparents and the grandkids, you've got children coming to your shows now. And this has always, well, ever since 2011, this has always been Vince McMahon's new mindset. We need to go PG. We have kids coming in here now. So you want to alleviate and try and brush out the fact that you have this whole attitude error. And with these recent interviews lately, people have been telling him, where's your attitude now that you don't care about it anymore? And he's been saying it in recent interviews, behind the scenes, along with Triple H. Well, this is an era that we've never been a part of before. We've never had these kind of fan bases that are coming in. That's because they're actually avoiding the question. What did happen to that whole 90s attitude mantra that you had? They're trying to act like it didn't exist. Well, it did exist. I know, I have proof. And you have proof because, you know, at first, back in 2008, I was upset with Vince McMahon for telling everyone in the company to start up a YouTube channel. But now that it's actually backfired on WWE because now you can go in and see old footage from the Steve Austin days when he and The Rock were going at it. You can go in and see the rivalry that he had with Vince. And most recently, from a few years ago, when the NWO, the New World Order, came in, buying out WCW and still keeping the Attitude Era going because of Eric Bischoff. But they try and tell the world that never happened. Well, you have your own YouTube channel. Congratulations. You're about to set off the WWE Network. That's going to show everything from every single promotion in the world that you basically bought out, Vince. This actually came back to bite them on the ass. And you can't say that it didn't happen when clearly everyone if you were born in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I mean 80s kid, then you know damn well that what I'm saying is true. And how dare they try and tell the world that we never had that kind of era, we never did, we were never violent or out of control. We never have been that kind of company. We're different. We have kids to watch out for. Yeah, but you've only been PG for 2 years? You make it sound like you were born yesterday, Vince. Come on now. Come on. This is ridiculous. Go back and look on YouTube. You can even find the Mankind versus Undertaker Hell in a Cell match from King of the Ring many years ago, which is what solidified the attitude that they had. You want a riot? Vince McMahon wants a riot. I know he does. And they might not admit it either, Dixie Carter and TNA, and maybe MVP, but they are in for a riot too. This is going to blow everybody's mind away. It's not by choice that I want to say these words, but I think it's true. I think it is so damn true and important to say all of this. I just wish I could see, once again, like I said earlier, I wish I could see everyone's reaction to the chat room. But our chat room is still not operational. But if you're listening, I thank you for listening very, very much. Along with Eric Williams, we appreciate that. We're going to take our final commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to break down what happened last night, but also how it looks like in real life, just like with Sting when he left TNA, just like with CM Punk, when everybody thought it was fake, that they all believed that, well, he'll be back on wrestling next week. Was he on Raw last week? Was he on SmackDown last week? Was he on Raw or SmackDown this week? No. Because it's not a storyline. It's true. The same was true with Sting. Sting really is gone from TNA. And now, the same will probably be said for the person that mostly took up television time last night. Dixie Carter could be gone in real life. How you act? Stay tuned after the commercial break, and you'll find out how.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Man, I love these new Red Button Roast coffees. It is exactly what I need, because I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Tell me about it. This French vanilla one is a great way to start the day.
Did you just say, tell me about it, and then keep on talking? Because I can't really tell you about it if you keep on talking afterward.
And you did wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
I know, tell me about it.
New Red Button Roast coffee and premium breakfast burritos. Now available with egg whites. This is how you Sonic.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize about the technical difficulties that we're having with the chat room. But if you like, you can call in. Call us up at 347-637-2306. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, it's crazy. It's really, really crazy. And also explanatory because of what is transpiring as we get set for the last 25 minutes of the show. We're about to close it up and wrap it up in just, you know, 25 minutes from now. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you all know that once again, I can't stress how cool it was and how important it was last week for all of you to have so many of you in the chat room last week. So many listening live. Like I said before, we had over a 50% margin right here on the Sports Opinion Show last week. If you love the Sports Opinion Show, we love you too. Thank you for last week. It was great. It was awesome. And keep it up, guys. You guys are doing awesome. We'd love to try and see if you guys yourself can break your own record of having more people join us every week. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, and who knows, maybe by the end of the year I'll have those results for you, and we'll find out how you did. But again, last week was cool. Last week was cool. And you know what else is cool is the fact that it looks like things could very well be set in motion for Impact Wrestling. Because, hey, the show immediately opened up. I mean, of course, you have Mike Tenay. Yeah, you probably thought I was going to say Don West. But no. It's Mike Tenay, it's Jeremy Borash, and they opened up the show with Eric Young taking on Abyss. The Monsters Ball match actually started backstage. And they're beating each other up, and then finally they come out and they end up on the entrance ramp and they're going up and down the aisle and trying to use as many weapons as possible, use anything veritable that they can get their hands on, and even put them through so much pain, which is why it's called the Monsters Ball match. And Abyss, being the creator of this match, he ends up bringing out, later on in the match, he brought out a bag full of thumbtacks, thousands and thousands of thumbtacks. And surprisingly, I thought it would be the robustness of Eric Young scrambling to save his life because he was about to face certain annihilation with those thumbtacks. But that didn't happen. I was very surprised that they let Eric Young do the underhanded move, come up on the other side of Abyss, and just slam him down hard on those thumbtacks. This time it wasn't a younger competitor taking on all those thumbtacks in his body. This time it was Abyss. But anyways, Abyss defeats Eric Young in a Monsters Ball match in just 9 minutes and 36 seconds. But then, before that, Eric Young managed to take off the mask of Abyss, revealing Joseph Park. Joseph Park, of course, was totally taken off guard by this, and then later on showed how embarrassed he was, because Mike Tenay had said that Eric Young had been proving this for weeks. Because remember, for the last 3 weeks, it started 3 weeks ago when Eric Young had said, I don't know why you keep telling everybody that you're here looking for your brother, Abyss. You are Abyss. You and him are the same person. You don't have a brother. And that's when the mask came off, and Joseph Park took a piece of the broken mirror that he had just smashed over Eric Young's head minutes before this, looking into the piece of mirror and realizing the gig is up. I am through because now the mask has just been taken off of me. And he also had to look like he might have to leave. Could we see the final farewell from Abyss? Or Joseph Park, whoever he's going to come out as next week. Anyways, MVP came out and he said that he's here for the fans. The fans are his number one priority because he saved up all his money, especially because his younger days when he was just growing up were not so popular, you know, with him being arrested and all that as a minor. We all know that story. And, you know, Bully Ray coming out every week now with a casket. Who is he, The Undertaker? No. This is not what people want to see. I mean, a couple of those tall guys in the front row, they look like they were about to jump the guardrail. See, that's what I'm talking about. Are you really asking for a riot? Between both companies, WWE and TNA. But it's not just them. Independent companies could possibly be in trouble because of this too. Look, I understand that sometimes in life, every babyface or good guy has got to come to terms with losing a match. However, if it involves real wrestling, sure, we'll still boo. We still won't like it. But when you put your best friend involved in this, or because you're the boss, per Dixie Carter, that all these things can happen in a single company. Fans are coming back to what they know best, and that's getting their voices heard loud and clear, Dixie Carter. But it was surprising with Bully Ray doing that. Chris Sabin was in some purple room, and he said that he had contacted Velvet Sky because he was going to do something special. And everybody said, uh-huh, what's this all about? And he told her that, I have something for you. And he pulls out this box. And we all thought it was an engagement ring to get married, to show how truly sorry he was for last week and for the last few weeks how he's been treating her. He said, please take me back. I know you will, because you'll accept what's in here. But she opened the box, and the jerk that Mike Tenay said he is, and it's true, he's a jerk. There's nothing in the box. If I was her, I would have threw that back in his face and stormed the hell on out of there. They were letting her stand up for herself, but whoever was in charge of writing the story out this week for the next chapter of the story between her and Chris Sabin is a fucking idiot. It really is. I know I've been told about watching my language on this network by Roger and several others. But I apologize for that, but I have to say it. These idiots that write these stories are not wrestlers. They don't understand the wrestling business. As I said last month, because everybody was in our chat and they said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. These people that write these stories, they've been in wrestling a long, long time. No. I'll tell you another fact. This is proven fact that a lot of people don't know. And that is that every 6 weeks, whether it be TNA or WWE, or even ROH, a writer gets fired every 6 weeks, which means they have to turn around and find somebody else to write a certain storyline. It's not like you or me or the Joe Schmoes that go up looking for these handmade jobs, okay? And it's not like people like Bill Gates, who is his own investor for his own company, where they've been there for so long. Because, you know, remember what happened earlier this year. When the entire world found out, well, actually, in the middle of last year, in October, September, but everybody recently, this is just still recent news, that the chairman of the board, the guy that was in charge of Men's Warehouse, here's the guy that started it all, was always on TV doing these Men's Warehouse commercials, but now he's been kicked out. He's the one that started the company. He's the one that made the company profitable. He's the one that did everything. And now he's out of a job. The same thing holds true for these writers. Remember the audio clip that I played 6 months ago from the trailer about Vince McMahon and about how he's the Lord of the Ring? Remember that part of the segment where his daughter in the audio clip said, you know, I can't tell you who these writers are, but I can tell you that we hire writers from Jay Leno, from The Tonight Show, from all these other sitcom shows, and we hire them there, and they come and work for us. And that's when she was asked, how educated are they in writing stories? She even admitted it. Well, they're not really that educated to write stories, but we see what they have to offer us. That's proof enough right there that they don't know what the hell they're doing, because they're not real wrestling fans. They're just writers from all these other shows, such as Jimmy Kimmel. Did anybody see that crap last night? Matt Damon, I feel for you, buddy. That was totally messed up. None of that should have happened to you last night. Yes. You're probably saying, Matt, you watched that? Yes, I did. I stayed up last night just to see what Jimmy Kimmel would do. I think that it's some type of status that, and some type of manipulative war between him and Matt Damon. Because it always happens whenever they're face-to-face like this. I guess there's some real heat there and they really don't like each other. But that's not the point. The point is, do you wrestling promoters want a riot on your hands? I applaud the two white girls that probably could have been gang members of some sort who showed up at the very first one-night stand pay-per-view. Where it was John Cena versus RVD. for the title. It was on the line. And they showed up with this huge sign that said, if Cena wins, we will riot. And Paul Heyman and all the other guys that were a part of the original ECW back in the day, they took notice of that. And the WWE camera crew, they were laughing about it. They go, Paul, please, that's not going to happen. This is New York. The fan base here is so out of shape, they probably forgot about that stuff. They probably forgot about ECW and all that. We're just doing a remake just to do a remake, and that's the only reason why we're here. But even the guys who used to do security for ECW back in the day, they were a part of that show. They even told the camera crew before the pay-per-view went live, no, these people with signs like that, and there were a lot of signs like that in the audience. There were people that were tattooed up that were showing their tattoos of how loyal they have been over the years to Extreme Championship Wrestling. You know that black guy? That was Dan Aykroyd. Donnie Aykroyd has been a longtime ECW fan. And it's not on any ECW DVD, but it has happened at a few house shows back in the day where he's actually been two or more times, he's actually jumped the guardrail to beat the crap out of somebody like Brian Pillman. Because of how egotistical guys like him and Lance Storm were back then. Boy, are they lucky he didn't jump the guardrail that night at the very first ECW One Night Stand pay-per-view. Because he just threw that shirt right back at John Cena, stood up and he flexed his muscles like, come on, come on, man. You want to fight? Let's fight. And then the camera crew realized, oh, shit. Paul Heyman and all the guys that were with ECW from before, they weren't joking. What, do you think Paul Heyman would lie to you? I mean, sure, he's been known to have some sorts of contingency of the way he surrounds his life with. But when it comes to real shit like that, he's not going to lie. He was telling the truth. And then the camera crew realized, and even the ring crew guys, who were all WWE, you know, guys that were helping out for that pay-per-view, they're like, oh, my God. It's probably a good idea that you're not letting John Cena actually win. Paul Heyman's like, of course. Of course I'm not going to let him win. What do you think I am, stupid? Think I'm crazy? But anyway, Magnus had a deal with, or he thought he had a deal with Dixie Carter. So did Bobby Roode. And he said, you owe me. You need to sign this contract. And she said no. MVP ended up going to her locker room and talking about it. And he said, we have plans to make out. We have a new life to live with. Me changing things around here. I'm the one that's going to change things. She said, well, we don't need to do that. He said, yeah, we do. She said, well, fine, we can do it here. We're always sitting down. He said, no, I want to do this with you in the ring. Don't forget about all those people that buy your tickets. He said, that's on the reel. So... Kurt Angle versus Magnus, awesome, awesome matches. Kurt Angle defeated Magnus by an apparent disqualification in just 2 minutes and 28 seconds, but still. And then EC3 ended up coming out and attacking Kurt Angle, smashing his leg with some sort of foreign object that was metal and it broke over Angle's leg. Kurt Angle did try to fight back, but EC3 was just too much. He then used a chair on the leg And now the common thing you're seeing in wrestling is referees are holding up, you know, the X sign. No, they're not out there to show how loyal they are to D-Generation X, a former faction in wrestling. That has nothing to do with it. Because in common reality, the X also stands for X-mergency. Get it? Not emergency, X-mergency. So they had to take Kurt Angle out on a stretcher. And, you know, this whole thing with SoCal Val, and she said that her and this new TNA guy that's been wrestling for a few weeks, their relationship just needs to be just personal now. It just needs to be business type. They can't have the relationship that they had before. because she said she's surprised at what she found. And he started talking about a wooden mannequin. He's like, you're pissed off about a mannequin? No, I think she really saw all the pictures that he had of her. Even the nude ones. I'm surprised that they didn't let that go a little bit further. Because you left everybody hanging. You're supposed to explain that one better. I hope maybe they will next week. I'm not sure. But I was hoping she would have said something like, you know, how do you have all these pictures of me? How did you get your hands on them? Where did you get these pictures from? Would have still been a joke, because we know where he got the pictures from. But Samoa Joe versus Bobby Roode, the main event. Well, Samoa Joe won and becomes the number one contender at 6 minutes and 52 seconds. A long, long match, and it was, as I said, a very, very good show. A very surprised showing to show that, you know, things are going to change for TNA. They're going to change the aspect of wrestling itself. They're also going to change things because, as I said, in real life, this now compromises Dixie Carter's role. Because even though MVP was stating in the ring with her how he saved his money, and his money is going to be well, well invested in the future of Impact Wrestling, in real life, even though I know you probably all said, well, you know, that story you told a little while ago about what happened in 2013 with the Men's Warehouse guy, you keep saying it every week, Matt, that this is a sports show that has nothing to do with this. It's not even remotely related to wrestling. Well, in hindsight, it does. Because just like he got ousted out, they gave her a six-month term. Turn it around before July 1st, or you're done forever. And you can go cry to your rich daddy and see what he thinks about this. But there have also been unconfirmed reports. You know what the word unconfirmed means, right? That, you know, it's almost forbidding for me to say that, you know, I'm not going to tell you what everybody else will tell you. Everybody on other shows will tell you when they have unconfirmed reports, well, don't tell the rest of the world what I just said, because it's an unconfirmed report. It's not true yet. The details are still coming in. But this is different. Everybody's going to know what these unconfirmed reports are by me, because Blog Talk Radio records all the shows. So everybody that will listen and hear this in the archives, go ahead, share it. Send our link to all of your friends. Tell them what I said, what I'm about to tell you. I dare you to share our link with your friends, because the unconfirmed report is, and it's might be true, it might not be true. That's why it's called an unconfirmed report. So I'm not going to be like everybody else and say, well, don't tell the world that what I just said. Because I can't do that. Because Blog Talk Radio records all the shows, so everyone will know what I said. The unconfirmed report is that Jeff Jarrett may have his hand back in TNA Wrestling. There, now you can tell everybody else what I said without whispering. Don't even whisper it. Like I said, share our link with everybody. It'll work wonders for you. Will we start seeing riots in the near future? Well, like I said before, I know we've got children now, and you've got to be careful. Things can be dangerous, but it needs to start. It has to, or change the way you're doing wrestling. Because it's best friend theology, and in the TNA side, just because you're the boss, doesn't cut it anymore. Change the way you do business, or we will want to riot. Take care. Thank you for joining me if you did. And I'll see you all next week, right here live. Peace. I'm out of here.
Heading to the top rope.
And he's in it.
Frog splash. Come on.
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell
is
wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.